Good evening. And welcome to our New Year's Eve Burning Bowl service. This is December. Can you believe it's December 31st already? Wow. Well, we're so blessed to be here. So let's get our service started so that we can bring this new year in right with prayer and meditation, just opening our hearts and minds to the new year that is just about to fall upon us. Living your dream in 2015. Yeah. Living your dream. Well, I thought, you know, here we go again. Here we are again at the end of another blessed year. And it's a blessing, too, because we are able to be here to witness the end of another year. Because we know there are many people who've made their transition. They always have on the news where, you know, they show the people that have passed on. And so we're here. It's another new year, a dawning at the same time as an ending. It's a dawning. It's the ending of a year gone by, but the dawning of one that holds so much promise and possibility with our intended desires and our dreams as we set upon this new journey of building a new year, a new life, a new moment for ourselves with great hope and great anticipation. I love this time of the year because we do have a lot of hope, right? We have a lot of anticipation of something good, something better than we've even had before. And so we should cherish that. It's a wonderful opportunity. But I'm wondering if this new year will really be any different than this year. You know, because again, it happens every year. We come to this place every year. But I'm wondering if it really, this time next year, will anything really be different? I know that we're going to have different experiences, true. We'll have different events that take place in this new year, there'll be different issues that we'll have to face. I'm aware of all of that because that's the nature of life. So we're going to have those things. But I'm really asking if there will be any difference in relationship to our dreams and our desires. Will we have accomplished them by the time next year rolls around? See, there's a wonderful old Unity song, and we've sung it before at usually to herald the advent of a new year. And it's called This Is the Year. It's in the songbook. I'm going to read it from the songbook here. I wrote it on 234. And the title of this Unity standard is called This Is the Year. And I'll read it, but you can read it along if you want to. And it's in rhyme. It says, wonderful, wonderful, fortunate you. This is the year that your dreams come true. This is the year that your ships come in. This is the year you find Christ within. This is the year you will be glad to live. This is the year you have much to give. This is the year when you know the truth. This is the year when you find new youth. This is the year that will bring happiness. This is the year you will live to bless. Wonderful, wonderful, fortunate you. This is the year that your dreams come true. It's a song, a wonderful song. And it's a song that holds out so much promise, you know, when you listen to it. But it almost sounds like some kind of magical mystery ride, you know? Like things are just going to happen for us. Your ship is going to come in. Now, I know some of us are still waiting for our ships to come in, right? Your ship's going to come in. All of a sudden, you're going to find happiness in the new year. That's what it said. All of a sudden, you know, your dreams are going to come true. And so while I believe that the possibility of everything in here is certainly true, and can indeed happen, because I believe in positive thinking. I believe in affirming and holding that which we desire. It is possible, but sometimes when you hear it all in a row like that, it may sound as if it's some kind of smoke and mirrors, that something's going to happen all by itself. And what I've learned in life is that it requires our participation. On some level, right? Even to get up in the morning, it requires your cooperation to get your feet over the bed and stand up, and you have to participate. You could lay there all day and say, I wish, I was up and doing all these wonderful things. But unless you participate and engender some kind of activity, it's not going to happen. That's just the nature of life. And so sometimes we get, even with our positive thinking and our affirming the truth, we can become a little lax in thinking that's all I have to do is say 3 affirmations, turn around, and that's it. Right? I've said my prayer, and okay, Lord, now bring it on. So there's something that we have to engage in as well. We have to be a part of it. So when the magic genie shows up, it shows up when you show up. If there's going to be a magical mystery ride, the genie's going to show up when you show up. But yet, dream we must. We participate, but we still hold out and have this wonderful energy of being able to dream. It's very important. You see, there are many types of dreams, but I want to focus on 2 this evening. There are sleeping dreams, and there are waking dreams. Okay, and we can kind of get the gist of what would hope. They both serve a purpose. Sleeping dreams can be very, very, very powerful because they often carry a message from our subconscious, helping us to see things that we may not be able to see while we're awake. You know, those things that you run away from, or things that you ignore, or things that you don't want to look at. So they may help us to see some things that we are not able to see or to recognize or to acknowledge when we are in our awakened state. It's sort of the way in which the soul is able to communicate with the self. See, your soul is always trying to communicate with yourself. And so dreams can be a way, it's not the only way, of course, but it is a way in which we can have this wonderful communication with the higher aspect of ourselves, a higher mind, whatever you want to call it. But we have to also be willing to look at them. Now, in these sleeping dreams, they can be nightmares. And sometimes you don't even want to have the dream that you're having. They can be nightmares, but whether they're nightmares or whether they are soul-searching, powerful dreams, dreams that impart some type of message or insight, and even nightmares give you a message, right? They can tell you what you're running from or what you are fearful of. So whatever is happening in the sleeping dream, it can be a powerful message for you to gain some insight. And the idea is to simply begin to tune in to these dreams, especially if you're seeking guidance, if you're seeking direction in your life. So if you have a dream, don't be afraid to actually look at it, because in fact, the message that you receive may actually be a divine message. It may be a message from the divine, a message from God, because God oftentimes speaks to us in dreams. Of course, that's not the only way that God may speak to us, but God does speak to us in dreams. In fact, in biblical days, that was the primary way that God spoke. Now, if you were really a highly evolved being, you might have been like a Moses or whatever. You might have heard the voice. If you were Jesus, when there was a voice that came from the heavens. But for the most part, if you look at your scripture, God spoke to people, to the prophets in dreams. We just had our Christmas series, and I was telling you how the angel spoke to every one of the characters in the story through dreams, right? And through some physical manifestation, but that's another topic. So this whole concept then of being able to figure out, well, what is the message for me? Is there a divine message in this dream? Am I having a prophetic experience? Sometimes we're so eager to get an answer, and God has given the answer, but we can't see it because we're not used to the channel through which it's coming. We really do want that, Sylvia. Come on, you want that. That's the way you want it to come, right? If we're honest, I would like that. Make it plain, Lord, so I can hear it. And if you don't give me the big booming voice, then give me something, you know, writing in the sky. Something. But God is a little subtle. And so sometimes the point is it may come through our dreams, our sleeping dreams. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, that I'm encouraging you to go out and find some soothsayers or some psychics or some diviners. I'm not encouraging that necessarily. Because you really don't need an outside source to interpret what is an inside soul revelation. Right? Because it comes to you. When that dream, it's your dream, it's for you. That revelation, that understanding, that wisdom, that insight is for you. And so going around to somebody, what do you think this dream means? They can have no clue, really. They can make up anything. People have asked me, I said, well, I think it means this. But no one knows better than your own soul. So, you know, I'm not saying that we should run out here and do that. The point I'm trying to make is that we all should be able to tune into looking within all aspects, and especially within this concept of dreams and what that might mean for us. So, you know, as we're paying attention to these wonderful aspects, this energy that's coming to us perhaps through our sleeping experience of dreaming, but it's for our soul's development and our life's journey. T.E. Lawrence said this. He said, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that all was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men. For they may act on their dreams with open eyes and make it possible. Don't you love that? I love that. So, wow, you know, the dangerous. People are dangerous when they open their eyes because at that point they have the ability, what he's saying, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, this dreaming that carries big energy. Energy to create. Energy to make something possible. Energy to make your dreams come true. That's a powerful, that's what happens in the waking dream. So I ask you then, what kind of waking dreams do you hold for yourself? Do you have dreams and desires and visions of what your life could be or what you would like it to be or be about and how you want to express that? The philosopher Goethe, who's one of my favorite philosophers, he said, dream no small dreams, for they have no power to move the hearts of men. Don't be dreaming small dreams. If you're going to dream, dream a big dream. You know? So you need to ask yourself, do my dreams, does my desire for my life have the ability to move men's hearts? Forget about maybe even moving men's hearts. Do they move your own heart? Are you moved by your dreams? Do they inspire you to want to achieve them, to get up and say, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I feel called to move in this direction. Don't dream small dreams. Dream the one that is going to actually open you up and allow the presence of God to come forth. And they said that you should dream a dream so big that only God can fulfill it. See? That's the kind of dream you want because God is able. Jesus put it this way. He said, you have not because you ask not. And having great dreams is actually asking the divine for what you want. You have not because you ask not. So you're not dreaming. The asking is when you have a great dream, you're asking. You're affirming, you're visioning, you're holding in consciousness that which you want. That which you see yourself being and doing and having. George Bernard Shaw put it this way. He said, Some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not? Right? That's powerful. Is this the year that you dream dreams that say, why not? Why not? Or are you going to get caught up in the whys? You know, oh, why me? Oh, why is this happening? Oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, Lord, why? That's different than the why me and the why not, right? Which dreams are you going to dream? See, when you come to the why not phase of your life, and I think I'm in that phase right now. I feel like I'm in a why not phase. If not now, when? That's what I always say to my mother. She always says, later. I go, this is later. Why not? So when you come to this why not phase in your life, that's when you know that you are open and receptive to possibilities. Why not? I am open and receptive to possibilities. You see, dreams manifest when you're able to dwell in the realm of possibilities. When you don't dwell in that realm, forget your dreams. When you can dwell in the realm of possibilities, your dreams have the ability to come true. Because, you see, God is the author and the creator of possibilities. God is the creator of all that is. And does not the scripture say with God all things are what? Possible. So we're dwelling in the possibilities. Now, if you're going to live your dream in 2015, you're going to have to not only be able to believe in the possible, but you're also going to have to be able to believe in the impossible. See, it's easy to believe in the possible, but you know that you're growing when you can believe in the impossible. When I was writing, I thought of the quote from Alice in Wonderland. You remember Alice was talking to the queen, and she's laughing, and she says to the queen, she says, well, there's no use in trying because one can't believe impossible things. And the queen says to Alice, I dare say you haven't much practice. When I was your age, I always did it for a half an hour a day. She says, why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Right? Can you believe impossible things? So if we are going to live our dream in 2015, whatever that is, we must practice. This believing not only in the possible, but believing in what? The impossible. Because they are both met and fulfilled by God. Whether you think it's possible or whether you think it's impossible, the fulfillment of it comes from God. So why not dare to dream? Why not dream the impossible dream? Why not? This is what I love. Says that, you know, because this is speaking, when you're going to be dreaming in the impossible dream, that means that you have to have more faith, faith in God. And the more faith you have in God, the more confident you will become in believing the possible and the impossible. Maren Morrissey, who is a wonderful minister out in Seattle, she said, you block your dream when you allow your fear to grow bigger than your faith. You block it, right? When you allow your fear to grow bigger than your faith, you are blocking your dreams. So what you need to do right now is to ask yourself if your fear is bigger than your faith. You know? As a matter of fact, ask your neighbor, is your fear bigger than your faith? 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 Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and see how many people told the truth. Because most people will say, yes, yes, yes. And then I would say, and so are you? That means then that you are living your dream. And when you say, well, no, not quite, not quite. Oh, okay. And so that's a question we need to, why not? Why am I not living my dream? Is my fear bigger than my faith? And so if we're going to do that, then we've got to be able to somehow have our faith be bigger than our fears. And here's some signs that you might, that might tell you when your faith becomes bigger than your fears. And so I wanted to look at the word dream in and of itself. Dream, D-R-E-A-M. And I wanted to see if there was something from this word that we could use to help us to figure out whether our faith is bigger or our fear is bigger, or just what is it that might be needed for us to live our dream in 2015. So I thought, all right, let's start with the letter D. So here's what we're going to need. With D, I think D could stand for determination, right? That you're going to have to be determined on some level to manifest your dream. You're going to have to be determined on some level to make it come true. Determined on some level to focus on your dream. Determined on some level to be steadfast towards it. So this is a checklist for you. Where's my level of determination? So we're starting the question, is my faith bigger than my fear or my fear bigger than my faith? And then you'll have an opportunity to use some of these to determine which is which. So we come to R. Now I thought, well, what would R stand for if you're talking about being able to live one's dream? Well, usually there are some requirements, right? In anything that you desire, there's a requirement that's involved. If you want to learn how to drive, the requirement is that you've got to study and take a test, right? Or if you want to go to school or get a job, there's something you must do. There's going to be a certain level of requirements and maybe even some prerequisites that you might have to do. Sometimes you can't even get to the requirements until you do a certain activity. So your task then, in order to bring your dream into manifestation and fruition, it's up to you to begin to know, well, what are those things that must be done by you, that are required by you to do before your dream can even come true or manifest? Sometimes we have these big, big dreams and we have no clue as to how to get there or what it's going to take. And sometimes when you find out what it's going to take, you say, maybe that's not my dream. That's okay. That's all right. But you have to have an understanding. So you get, again, to see whether your fear is bigger than your faith or your faith is bigger than your fear. Whichever one. But you're going to be able to be determined to achieve it. And then you're going to look at, well, now what's required for me to do so? And once you figure out what's required, then you're going to go ahead. What's needed to be done, then you need to get about the business of doing it. Which brings us to E. And you can figure out, what do you think E would stand for? Expectation, that's a good one. Effort. Yeah. But I like expectation too, because you have to have that as well. But again, you can have lots of expectation, but if you don't do anything about it, it doesn't mean anything. You've got to have some effort. Demonstrating some effort, living your dream in 2014 or 15 rather, is going to take some effort on your part. Because what happens is, you know, we oftentimes want things to be different, but we don't want to do it differently. Right? I want it to be different, but I just don't want to do it differently. Or don't ask me to do too much. I'll do a little changing, but I'm not really up for this much changing. I didn't know it was going to require this much effort for me to do it. So you've got to be willing to figure out how much effort am I willing to put into this process of living my dream and making it manifest or allowing it to manifest. So your efforts should match your desire and your determination. They have to match. Oftentimes we have things are mixed up. You know, we have the head and the heart. I really want to do it, but I don't feel like doing it. So they've got to match. Your effort has to match your desire, your determination. What are you willing to do to bring it about? Now, once you do this, and you need to ask yourself daily, too, what am I willing to do to live my dream in 2015? Because it should be a daily thing. If you really want a dream to come true, you know, because otherwise life takes over. And it hypnotizes us. And it causes us to fall asleep. And you're trying to wake up to your dream and you'll be sleeping. So you have to do it daily, keeping it before you, right? So once you get into the what effort am I willing to put, what's required, I'm determined to do it, you then get to the A in dream, which to me speaks to action. Now you may say, well, isn't action and effort the same thing? And I see it a little differently here, because action is different in that action for me would involve a certain level of a decision making, a definite commitment to move towards the dream, to take a step, to take action. Because sometimes you can have a whole lot of effort going on, right, without any action towards completion. It's called spinning your wheels. You ever do busy work at work where you had a lot of effort going on but you really weren't doing anything? Come on, we all had that. So you could be, it can look like you are moving, but you're going nowhere, right? We got energy, go action, but action means I act. I make a decision. I take a step toward achieving it. Not just the effort, but the effort must lead to action. Or else it's not, again, you can be just spinning your wheels. So your action then must match your effort. Your effort's going to match your determination and the requirements, but your action's going to match your effort. And that brings us to the letter M, which I thought would be to be mindful. Mindful of your dream, mindful of God, mindful of what's before you. Because, you know, you've got to keep whatever it is that you're desiring on your heart and in your mind. Because when you keep your mind filled with something, it begins to gather energy and vibration and substance. See, that's how you bring something into being, right? You hold it in consciousness. You fill it out with that. You fill your mind with the thing you desire and you hold it there. You are mindful of it. You are filling your mind with the intention, with the desire, with the vision, with the affirmation, with whatever the dream, until it begins to gather substance and energy for manifestation. So we are mindful. The Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You want to bring the presence and power of God into the situation, you've got to keep your mind stayed, not only on God, but on the dream and on your vision as well. So when we're able to do that, then we're led into wonderful experiences of just being totally involved with the leading of spirit and the dream that we're holding, and it has an ability to manifest. Because God is the giver, the author, the sustainer of the dream in the first place. Emily Cady likes to say about desires and dreams, she said, that's just simply God tapping at the door of your consciousness, waiting and wanting to give you the desires of your heart. So when you have a dream, it's God. And you will know, I'm not talking about a wishful fancy, I wish I could get, you know, more chocolate or whatever. I'm talking about a dream. Well, because those are wants, and we have wants, and it's okay to have wants. I happen to like chocolate. There are lots of wants I have. But when something is a deep desire in a dream, it has a quality, a spiritual quality, a divine quality. You can feel the essence of God in it. That's when you want to be able to move those things into your life. So if you can live with determination, knowing that there are requirements, and take those requirements and put forth the effort to match them and meet them, and then to take action while being mindful, then surely you will begin to live your dream. The dream will live you. And when that happens, your life begins to unfold in amazing ways. Because when you're that in tune, then all of a sudden, grace takes over. God takes over. Because it sees this is a vessel that needs to be filled. This is a dream that needs to manifest. And so hopefully my prayer for each of us is that we will truly begin to first listen for the dream and then begin to do the work. That this will be the year. It says that poem said, this is the year. Fortunate, fortunate, wonderful you. This is the year your dreams come true. But you are the ones that put it into action. God will do the rest. But you must make yourself, you know, that ready vessel and vehicle through which the dream shall live and manifest. So I give thanks for this process that we will embark upon for 2015. And we all commit, do we all commit to living our dream in 2015? Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So let's begin the process then of releasing the old so that we might truly embrace what lies before us in this new year. I know that you have written your letters to God. And we want to take this opportunity to release that which no longer serves us and which has already been fulfilled so that we can create space. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings.